Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Thank you for joining the Shame Free Zone. This is Veronica Monet, your host. My guest tonight, Tanya Diamond. She's calling in from Seattle, Washington, one of my favorite cities to hang out, and she's an expert on Tantra. But we're not just going to talk about Tantra tonight. I'm hoping that Tanya is going to give us some techniques and tips on how we can be more fully alive. Tanya, are you there?
I am so there. Hello,
Thank
Veronica.
You. Thank you for joining the show.
Loving it.
I went to your website, and if you want to give that URL out to the listeners, feel free. Just go ahead and market your butt off. That's what we're all about here at the Shame Free Zone. We're not afraid to like money either.
I like that. No shame. No shame with anything. That sounds great.
No shame. But when I was reading, you were saying that people are like, why was it only 20% alive? There's like all this other life we could be accessing that we're not accessing. It made me think about sitting in commuter traffic when I worked a day job.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at the cars next to me and seeing how all those people were basically dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. People are wandering around unconscious, barely breathing, literally and figuratively. It's pretty sad out there, and really I'm all about helping people live in the full expression of human potential.
Wow. So, first of all, before you give us some concrete steps on how we can do it, can you share a little bit about your own journey and how you became more alive?
I believe that in one way I was kind of like all of us born that way. I mean, we're all born in that great state of arousal where we're very curious about life and we, every sight, sound, smell, taste, everything just enlivens us and invigorates us. And then we are squelched in a myriad of ways, but we're taught to be quiet, to be still, to not be so exuberant, don't be so excited. Get your hands out of there. Get your hands off of this. Don't stick that in your mouth. You know, over and over we get the don'ts. And then we go to school, and we're told to sit still, sit quiet. Don't do this. Don't do that. Every single part of our life, unless one of our parents was into it, like maybe music or something like that, we're pretty squelched. And most of us don't understand that it's really hard to live in only one area. So if you're passionate about musical, but everything else is kind of squelched, not working as well. So for me, it was basically about rebellion. I was in that great stage of life and had people attempting to squelch me, and I did spend some time in my 20s squelched, very angry, very upset about not being able to live fully as expressive as I knew I could.
Right.
And basically broke out of that. And I've been called, you know, frivolous, manic depressive because I'm so happy. It's like, what's wrong with you? You're so happy. There must be something clinically wrong with you. Everything that could be called nowadays, of course, with the advent of the secret out and that, people think I'm cool. But growing up, it wasn't always that way. Why, you know, visions of grandiose ideas of happiness and just being aroused about everything. And so it's been a really interesting journey. Tantra was a vehicle for me in which to realize I had come home. Most people think of Tantra as sexual. Only 3% of Tantra has anything to do with sex. Really, it's about igniting your internal flame. It's about being a fully embraced human. It's about learning how to be engaged in every sense of the word there is to be engaged in. So,
you know, I know for me, I it's very rare that I meet or see people that I go, oh, wow, that person's really alive. It's actually children and pets where I go, oh, wow, that child or that little puppy is really alive. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and I've actually found myself getting jealous of children and animals.
Sounds like.
So, what would you say to people as far as what would be a first step? You know, and by the way, what's the obstacle to becoming fully alive? What is it that keeps us from being that automatically?
Well, first of all, we're trained to be followers, and we're trained, of course, one of our greatest assets is one of our greatest downfalls, is our role modeling. You know, we are sponges when we're born, and we role model what we see, not what's so much said to us, but what we see. We believe what is said, and we role model what we see. These two things can be conflicting and lead us to conflict, and conflict is our biggest obstacle to living in the freedom of full expression. Conflict of, that's not how you do it. My parents did it this way. Conflict of, oh, I can't possibly be that big or live that out loud. What will people think of me? So, yeah, it's everything is really, I like to be really simple. One of my greatest gifts, I believe, is the teaching in simplicity. And conflict is the only thing that keeps us from living in our full potential.
Conflict. So, mm-hmm. And how, when you say that, are you saying it's conflict like other people don't want you to be alive, and so diminish our aliveness to, we kind of like go along to get along? Is that what you're talking about?
Really, it's our internal conflict. Yeah, and that's part of it, our belief system and our internal conflict about what is our truth and what we should be doing to fit in.
Well, you know, for our listeners here, it was like, who's this lady who's telling us how to be fully alive? I'm looking at your website right now, which, by the way, is learningtantra.com. And if you go over to the description about Tanya, are you really all these things? I got, like,
yeah.
Sexual intimacy expert, international sex and relationship trainer, founder of the Center for Sexual and Spiritual Enlightenment, NLP practitioner, and for people who don't know that, that's neuro-linguistic programming, clinical hypnotherapist, time empowerment techniques, advanced certified tantra educator, which those letters are ACTE. I didn't even know they had something like that, mm-hmm. founder of Breathe and Believe, sexual educator, ACE, what's that?
ACE.
ASE, I'm sorry. ASE.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably an advanced sexual educator. Or accredited sexual educator, sorry. I don't even know. I mean, what's it?
Oh, yeah, I was like, I want to get one of those. No.
I want to get all these letters. I think the only thing the letters really mean is that I'm really curious. And that
I like your modesty. She's either really curious or really ambitious here. Tantric sexual healer, holistic sexual healer, Reiki master level 4. Really?
Yeah, there's like level 5. Yeah, there's like the 3 Reikis, and then there's laser Reiki and remote. Yeah.
Life coach, intuitive relationship and sexuality counselor, Bach flower remedy practitioner, aromatherapist, sound therapies, vibrational therapies, T-touch practitioner. I remember when T-touch came out, it was first about horses, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. See, I was an animal behaviorist as well.
Oh, that's right. You work with horses.
Okay.
And then EFT, that's like all the rage right now. What does this stand for again?
Emotional freedom techniques.
Right, and that's where you're tapping certain pressure points.
Correct.
Yes. I tried to do that online. I found it so confusing. I'd much rather somebody else was doing it to me. Meditation teacher, white tantra educator. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. White tigress, ongoing studies, martial artist, student of the Millionaire Mind Group, author, motivational speaker, radio, TV personality, and PhD candidate. What are you getting your PhD in?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh.
Also, I'm a candidate.
Okay. Well, what about the martial artist?
I've been a martial artist. I was a dragon stylist in Kung Fu for a really, really long time.
No kidding.
And I've done Tai Chi. I've done a bunch of different martial arts. But I'm into Shin Tao right now, which is Shintao. A guy named Ratzel Bander, who the Shin Tao that I'm doing is actually curing my peripheral neuropathy, which is supposedly incurable.
And what is
so
that?
Shintao.
No, what is it that you're being cured of?
Peripheral neuropathy, which means my legs were going numb. I had numb feet. I haven't been able to stand on my toes, dance, or do martial arts in over 8 years.
Wow.
And 5 weeks of doing this particular movement, Shintao, I am now standing on my toes and doing martial arts and dancing again.
Oh, Tanya, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. Excited. Congratulations.
Thank you. So if they get really anxious and go look at my About Tanya's Life, yeah, I do more than the Marines do in a week in the morning.
So you're living. You are absolutely walking your talk here.
Yes.
Absolutely walking your talk. Can you tell us a little bit about white tantra? I've heard that term.
Tantra,
I have no idea what it means.
Yeah. It's the energetics of tantra. It's the actual yoga of tantra. So there's white tantra and red tantra. Red tantra is the sexual techniques of tantra. And white tantra is the yoga energetic part of tantra.
Okay. So there's actually quite a bit of that, right? Aren't people studying a lot of...
Yeah.
I know up here where I live, there's if they have tantra, it's always the non-sexual type.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing about any of it is if you don't have the foundation, which really the white tantra is the foundation, all the techniques in the world just make you a technician. And, you know, I've had some technically great lovers, the kind where their technique was so good that I could lay there and think, oh, now they're going to go to the left 3 times, now to the right 3 times, now we're going to go down 2 times. That's boring. So, just using technique is not really the ticket. That's not living in the present. That's living in your head and using a set of guidelines in which to navigate the human body. Not fun.
Is this a picture of you jumping a horse?
Yeah. I did.
Wow.
National horse.
So, you guys, seriously, I'm going to copy this into Twitter for people who want to just be able to click over to the link, check out being fully alive, !
And it is crazy. I mean, I used to fly helicopters, and I'm a dive master in scuba diving, and yeah. It's really about, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking, what do I want to do? How do I want to take on the day? And living a fearless way of just going out and doing it.
Well,
that takes breathing. It takes.
You'd have to be very fearless because, I mean, you know, I think most people kind of conceptualize that there's just certain things they're allowed to do.
Right. Yes.
Now,
yeah.
It says here that you had plans to be a neurosurgeon, but they were thwarted by a seemingly mystical experience.
Yeah. I went from, I graduated from high school at 16 and was slated to be, all the people I went to school with went to MIT or Harvard or some fancy thing like that. And, you know, that is what my brain and my parents and my upbringing would have put me into, was becoming a neurosurgeon. And the reality was when I went to do some, you know, work, you have to do a lot of work with animals in that field. And I just couldn't hack that. And really that saved me.
Experimenting on poor animals.
Yeah, exactly. And
you're far too compassionate to do that.
Right. It probably saved me because I didn't have what it took to be able to make mistakes on people and survive.
Mm.
So an unlikely twist of fate took me into a hair salon to get my hair cut at a school where the woman said something like, you have a gift for gab, you should be a hairdresser. And I was highly insulted, and then later on realized I knew nothing about fashion. I was killing a year, so I thought, I'll go check it out. So I ended up becoming an instructor in hair, which has actually been one of my stable bread and butter kind of existences for the last 25 years as I milled around and did all these other things.
And it's just fascinating to me. So you worked at Bechtel Corporation, and then you become a hairdresser. You've been a gas station attendant, a cocktail waitress, a singer in several bands, store manager, a ditch digger. These things go together. You realize that.
They all go together. That's the beauty of it. It's all life. It's all together. It's all connected.
Wow.
We don't need to be in just one space.
Yeah, so how did you get past, you know, society's expectations that you, like when you get to college, it's like, pick a topic. They right. want you to pick a topic and know what your area is. And here's a picture of you scuba diving, and here's one of you skiing. Girlfriend, you really are fully alive.
In college, I hustled pool, because I found classes pretty boring. It became clear to me that a lot of people were just going through the motion, and I couldn't determine how in the world at 16 or 17 or 18 or whatever, you were supposed to figure out what in the world you wanted to do for the rest of your life, because I had too much I wanted to do. I mean, the biggest challenge for me was finding something that I could make money doing that gave me the flexibility to be fully engaged in life. Neurosurgery wasn't going to be it, really, either.
Well, I wouldn't think so. But you have found now with teaching Tantra, is that your true passion, or do you think you're going to go off and do something else?
Well, you know, I'm always doing something else. Right now, my actual life mission is to be surpass Tony Robbins, but use the word sex on a stage and motivate millions of people to live a fully engaged life.
Well, I gotta tell you, I think we're getting closer and closer to it. I don't know if, you know, Oprah Winfrey kind of has her pulse on the culture, and of course she shapes the culture too, but she's been doing lots of shows about sex. She had Dr. Laura Berman on there. I'm sorry, what?
I was going to say, what are we going to do, Veronica? Everybody's talking about relationships and talking about stuff, but too afraid to use the sex word and talk about our sexual energy.
Well, yeah, but I was shocked. It's very interesting how Oprah did this. She brought on Dr. Laura Berman, who is a sex educator.
Right.
And this woman was recommending that mothers go out and buy their daughters vibrators.
Right.
And I was like, well, hallelujah. But it was very interesting because Oprah's audience was having a problem with that. And so
yep.
Oprah was very quick to say, I'm not saying anything. I just brought you on this show, and whatever you say, that's on you.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
we're
still really scared.
Oh, my God, we're so scared. We're so scared. I called up a bookstore here in the little, you know, town that I live in and asked her, if she'd like to have a free event, a free author's event to bring people into her store to buy books. And she goes, well, it depends on what the topic is. And I said, well, I wrote a sex manual for women. And she goes, nope, we won't do that.
Yeah. Well, I tried to get an event geared up for a battered women's shelter here. I wanted to do a free event where I, you know, sold tickets and all the profits would go to the battered women's shelter, and they would not get on board with it. And you know,
yeah.
I'm an elegant educator, just like you. I mean, I'm not a four-letter word educator. I've got my clothes on, the whole works.
Exactly.
And,
there's not a piece of nudity on your website anywhere. Which, by the way, folks, is learningtantra.com. If you want to visit that, and you don't happen to be hooked up to Twitter. And by the way, if you do want to call in live with questions for my illustrious guest, Tanya Diamond here, who is basically a master of many different things, but she's also a very accomplished Tantra teacher. Our toll-free number here at the Shame Free Zone is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Or just go over to Twitter and hook up with Veronica Monet on Twitter. Send me a message and I'll read your question on the air. Red Tantra and White Tantra. You know, when I look at the pictures on your website and see of jumping horses and scuba diving and skiing, it's easy for me to conceptualize how that creates life. I mean, you look very alive. But Tantra, I think, is a hard thing for some people who aren't familiar with it to wrap their minds around. For one reason, like, I don't know if you saw an episode of this series they have on TNT called Saving Grace, where the star finds this Tantra teacher, and he is trying to introduce her to Tantra principles. And for both her and her lover, when they tried to do Tantra, they both felt like nothing was happening. You know, it's like they were just sitting there breathing. What would you say to people who are like thinking, well, Tantra is not very active, it's not very lively?
Well, you know, there's, first of all, there's lots of different ways. Unfortunately, Tantra, a lot of people that are teaching versions, and let me say that, versions of Tantra, be it Neo-Tantra, which is the resurrection of Tantra here in the United States, sit in purple and om and, you know, light incense and have candles and gaze into each other's eyes and want to be, you know, bring everything quiet. Even though Tantra is, in a sense, the ability to sense the most subtle, like every air molecule will cause you ecstatic bliss when you're at the advanced state of Tantra, taking a breath is ecstatic. In the beginning, that's not the case. And Tantra, definitely, laughter is a vehicle for moving energy as well. I believe in teaching in laughter and healing in laughter and pleasure in laughter. So it doesn't have to be all serious, and it doesn't have to be all ritualistic. It can be a lot of fun, but it really, the teachers that are teaching it a lot of the time right now are really doing the all sit in purple and be mellow. I like to teach meditation in action. You know, we are on fire these days. Mach 1, cell phones in the ears. I mean, I got 2 cell phones. I run a huge business. I have 5 assistants. I've got a 5-year-old. I mean, I don't have time to sit an hour zen. So I teach people how to live in an expression while on the go, which is really what Tantra is about, living in our moment-to-moment bliss, not just only when you can sit still for a moment. So breathing is the vehicle, though, and that may not seem sexy in the beginning, but your breath is the key to everything. I mean,
after all, we come
into the world taking a breath, and we leave taking a breath, right?
So that would be a good explanation for why that is the key to everything. And I've experienced that, you know, every breath being ecstatic. But one of the things that happens for me is that I find it frightening because it feels so overwhelming. I worry that I'm going to get stuck there and I'll never be quote-unquote normal again. But I have met some people who got their Tantra Kundalini turned on permanently, so they can't even give a hug without channeling chakra energy down into your genitals and going into some, you know, kind of Kriya.
Right.
And I'm just, what would you say to somebody who maybe wants to be able to move in and out of that without feeling like, you know, they're just going to have all these little mini orgasms all day long?
Living in ecstatic bliss is awesome. I can take a breath and have an orgasm, no problem. But I can also sit and talk to people and focus on things. I think people that get lost in that experience aren't very grounded. I mean, they've gotten lost in that experience, and whether it was because they haven't really done their breath work correctly. They just got triggered. They got triggered by a teacher that didn't teach them, well enough.
Uh-huh.
Really, Tantra doesn't take away anything from you. It just adds to your repertoire. So if you would like to go live in complete unconsciousness, you could choose to do that.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to turn into anything that you don't want to be. And as far as being normal, I'm definitely not anywhere close to normal, yet somehow people that know me, other than thinking that, you know, like I said, that I live an amazing life, I don't have 2 heads or anything weird like that. I can go to business meetings and interact with people. I think that that's a fear, an ungrounded fear, but only if you're, like I said, it's a problem only if you're working with people that don't really know what they're doing.
Interesting. So you can actually have boundaries around Tantra. I think that one of the things I've experienced is people who have a lack of boundaries around Tantra.
Well, some people believe that Tantra is an interpretive science. Like, you know, they can say, make it be anything they want. Like, Tantra is all about freedom to be, you know, you have sex with everybody and you ooze your sexuality on everybody and, you know, you throw your body around and 4-letter words with abandoned. And this is not true. Tantra is actually a scientific, classical Tantra is a scientific study, and it's a very formulated one. what's happened is we have neo-tantra in the United States, where people have taken certain tantric aspects and philosophies and just created their own interpretation.
And so, mostly in the West, that is all about sex.
Right, right. And so if you meet a tantra teacher and it's all about sex and they're telling you you need to get naked with them and you need to have sex with them, they're not really teaching tantra. They're teaching some tantric sexual techniques, some Taoism, some Kama Sutra, but you don't need to get naked to learn Tantra.
You certainly don't. You don't need to get naked to have an orgasm, and you don't even
exactly.
need to have genitals to have an orgasm.
Exactly, exactly.
What?
And certainly,
go ahead.
And certainly engaging your life, you know, being a fully engaged human, has nothing really to do with sex. It has to do with sexual energy, which is an entirely different thing.
Yes. Now, how do you distinguish sex and sexual energy?
First of all, there's sex in your genitals, procreational sex, which is your hormones, and it's kind of a basic biological drive, and it's all stuck in your genitals. And that's that feeling people get when they want to just get rid of their sexual tension. You know, oh, I'm horny, I need to go get rid of this tension. That's just procreational sex. That's moving towards, you know, doing what nature intended us to do, which was to have children, go out and mate. When you're moving sexual energy through your body, you're using the life force of sex. You're using that power of sexuality, but you're using it through your whole body. So you never have that frustration aspect. It's not about being horny and trying to get rid of. It's about pulling that energy through your entire body and using it for creativity, using it for drive. I sleep 4 hours a night. I have no problem being awake because I'm using that energy to fuel my body. And it's the most creative, it's the biggest energy, life force energy in the world. And when you think about it, we create life with that energy. What can we use it for? Everything. But we're limited because most people are just having it in their genitals.
Wow. So what, I think that's probably the most eloquently that I have heard that put. I love it. What would you say to the listeners who want to start working with Tantra? What would be a first step to take?
Other than signing up on my email list and then reading my articles, breath work. I mean, finding somebody that really understands how to, without the foundation of breath work, without learning how to become present and aware in your own body and how to feel your authentic feelings, you can't.
Oops. Tanya? I think that we have dropped Tanya. So I apologize to the listeners. We were just on the verge of getting the keys to the kingdom there. But what I know about Tantra, what I have experienced with Tantra, and by the way, if you do want to sign up for, we're trying to reconnect with Tanya. Meanwhile, while we're trying to get Tanya back on the line here, I just want to tell you again that her website is learningtantra.com. That's learningtantra.com. And my guest again tonight has been Tanya Diamond. That's Tanya Diamond. And she's got her newsletter and email and all that great stuff right here on that website, so you can check it out. Also, if you have any questions, then feel free to Twitter those to me right now. I'm on twitter.com/Veronica Monet. And
hello!
Hey, Tanya, you're back!
I'm back. I just had to take a little hiatus there or something. I was in the middle of manifesting a karaoke machine.
I was going to say, your kundalini energy was just so powerful, it knocked us right off the air.
That happens sometimes. That happens sometimes.
That's okay. You got a free ad the entire time you were gone. I was just sitting here telling people about your website and how they could contact you and about your newsletter.
That's awesome. And I was expanding upon how you can use sexual energy to manifest anything. And basically how, you know, I wanted a karaoke machine for Christmas. 2 days later, a client walked in, put one down, a karaoke machine down, and said, "Hey, do you want this?"
Now, would you consider that sex magic?
The sex magic is actually more what I would consider when you're with yourself or a partner and you actually use the energy of orgasm with intent and focus.
Right.
I can do that as well, but this is just my laser living in huge arousal. You're really in the flow of the universe.
Yes, exactly, so that you're manifesting, just manifesting
right.
things.
Yep, and you have to be very cautious about what you're really focusing on when you live in this kind of flow, because it just shows up all around you.
Now, and that again goes back to the, what about people that are afraid to be fully alive? First of all, why would anybody be afraid to be fully alive?
Well, you know, people ask me that all the time. It's the same people that say, why would I want to have a 9-hour orgasm? I don't have time. I think that we're afraid because it's so huge. I mean, it is huge to live. You know, when people first experience the tingling hands, when they first start to awaken, they get scared. They go, oh, my God, that's scary. I can't believe I feel that. When you live in 1,000 volts, you know, watts ripping through your body, and, you know, you're taking a breath and you can see the ripples move out from you, yeah, it's all scary. I mean, it's scary in the sense that nobody prepares us for that big of a journey. But if you look at the ability that you have to live in that experience, I don't understand the, I mean, why not? Because you can always go back. I mean, I can't at this point. I mean, I can't at this point. I could never go back. But really, for instance, here's a great story. I'm driving down the road one day and I had a big break. And so I'm pretty dramatic because I like to live in fully abandoned of all my feelings. And I'm crying and I'm, oh my God, I'm never going to love again. You know, this big drama. And all of a sudden I thought, oh yeah, I need to take some breath. Took a couple of breaths and I looked up and the sky is beautiful and I love the clouds and everything's fine because really, you know, it's all just emotions. And then I thought, wait a minute, but I want to be in the drama. So I went back to crying. I mean, really, you have choice. When you're living fully engaged, you have complete choice in how to live your life. Right now, you should be scared. Right now, most people are prisoners. Not when you live like this.
That's a really good point. It's a very good point. Now, why do you think we have, you know, the mythology? Because if, like, you know, a lot of Western culture is formulated around the Bible, and some of those original stories are very much about the tree of good and evil and the tree of knowledge and how you're not supposed to partake of knowledge. And then we got the mythology around Pandora's box. Like, once you've opened that box, there's no turning back. And I think a lot of people have been infused with fear of the unknown and fear of having too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, we also tell people they shouldn't brag, right? I mean, we shouldn't
sure.
be happy about what we have. And don't say you're having a great relationship. What about those poor people that aren't? You know, what about the starving people in Africa? I mean, just, yeah, it's very much about people being kept small and being
yeah.
kept afraid. People are easier to manage when they're afraid. Okay? If we look at raising our children, and most people threaten their kids in a way to keep them in line. You know, if you don't do that or I'm going to smack you. Don't do this or you're not going to get this. We use, at a very early age, we use fear as a vehicle for control. And so it's, the whole society is that way. And so it's a normal occurrence that we think that way, that we believe that to be the case. Being big has risks associated with it. People look at me, you know. People have, you know, criticized me. People have said, oh, my God, that's that obnoxious woman who's always over there laughing. And so it isn't really, you have to be fearless to walk this path, but that's why I'm doing it. I'm doing it so other people can go, oh, my God, I want to be just like that. I get calls every day from people saying, thank you for living that loud, living out loud, living that large so I can step into that space. We need it so desperately. Right now you're prisoners. Right now you're prisoners of programming from your parents, prisoners of your own fear of even going out and living how you want to live.
I think that there's a lot of punishment that comes down on children for being joyful. I know there was in my home.
Yeah.
There was like, oh, we have a question, but it's way off topic. Somebody's Skyping it. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, go ahead. What is your question? So we'll have it coming in here in a minute.
All right.
Anyway, in my home, I wouldn't say I was punished. Nobody said you shouldn't smile and have fun. But instead, they would, just sulk and withdraw. I would lose my parental, approval.
Yes.
So you learn as a child, oh, don't be too happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it upsets daddy. So our listener has this question. It is, in fact, way off topic.
Cool.
It says,
be bold.
They want to know, who did you get certified as a dive master through?
Patty.
Yeah. That way to go. I'm Patty, too.
All the questions in the world somebody could ask.
I know.
Patty.
I know.
You're dying to know.
Where have you been? Where have you gone?
Diving?
Yeah.
The only places I have not been are the Galapagos, Borneo, and Thailand.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well anyway, I'm gonna test you. Have you been to Papua New Guinea?
I have been to New Guinea and Madagascar. Really some very obscure places.
Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao?
Yes.
Cozumel?
Yes, and I've actually gone via helicopter rappel down into a dive site in Africa. So,
my God! Oh my God! I thought I had you with Papua New Guinea.
I grew up in Africa, and I grew up in Africa and overseas, so I'm pretty.
Did you go to the Winlindi plantation on the Isle of New Britain?
You know what? I am going to tell you, I had a head injury in 91. I know I've been diving in Papua, and I can't tell you where unless I look in my dive log.
Okay.
It was
all right.
91.
Fair enough. You must have, like, what do you have, 1,000 dives or something?
Oh, way more than that.
Really?
I used to dive 100 times a year here in the Northwest. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, so you're dry suit certified.
I've gone through 3 dry suits at this point, I think, in my life.
I've never wanted to do the dry suit because you can't pee in them.
You can pee in them. You can totally pee in them.
You can?
You can. There's the pee in your dry suit and walk up and just pour it out kind of peeing, or there's the pee in your dry suit that actually has the special cup that you wear that you can siphon out. Yeah, there's sophisticated ways.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'll try some cold water diving. I am a total wuss. I'm like, I want the water to be 82 degrees or I'm not there.
There you go. We have some of the best diving in the world up here.
You do. You got this red octopus
and
the big wolf eels.
Yep, and it's all tantric, you know? embracing that cold water.
have you been to the Sea of Cortez?
Yes, but I did not get to dive with anything really cool. It was jellyfish season.
No hammerheads then.
No. I saw a hammerhead in Roatan.
I dove with the hammerheads in the Sea of Cortez, and I think, though, the best part about diving in the Sea of Cortez for me was actually coming home after the dive at the end of every day, because of the way the bottlenose would be at the bow of the boat, the sun would be setting, and those flying fish would be skipping across the surface of the ocean. And, of course, you've had 2 or 3 dives, and you feel so good after that.
it's living large. And I want to say that, for people out there that are thinking to themselves, oh, yeah, that's just you, people say that a lot. This is for everybody and anybody. I mean, this is clearly... you have, I mean, regardless if you believe in past lives or future lives or whatever you believe in, this existence right now in your body is the only one you're going to have like this. There is absolutely zero reason to tolerate mediocrity and to tolerate being scared. Because you know what? Really, the fear, I mean, I've had really scary things happen to me in my life. I mean, really scary things. And I have to tell you, the scariest thing is living in unconsciousness. The scariest thing is not living in your most full expression as a human.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And yet, as a human being, I find myself frightened about moving into unfamiliar territory. What would you tell for people who want to take that first step? What should they do? Because, you know, it's wonderful to hear these wonderful stories, but...
And how do we do it?
But yep. People really, I mean, like, what's the first step? A lot of, you know, static comes up when people get ready to try to introduce change into their life. They'll worry that they can't afford it, or that they don't have enough time, or that it's too late. They feel like they're too old. There's a lot of arguments that people put up before they ever pick up a phone or drop an email or go take a class. How would you suggest people
get
past that?
I mean, really, it is the key back into the breath work, because your truth is already in you. I mean, the reality is you have everything you need. You just don't know how to access it. And having a good trail guide is really the key. I mean, I have a 72-year-old client that is working with me, you know, making changes for the first time in his life. It's never too late to do it. I have to say that I know I keep coming back to it. It's breath, breath, breath. And why breath work? Because breath is the ability to move past your fear. If you don't have some understanding of how to take a deep breath and change your physiology, you cannot move past that programming, that fear, when it happens. So the fear is going to come up, right? The fear is always going to come up. But you know the thing about the unknown? You already don't know. Okay, you think you know, because you have a routine in your day that you know what's going to happen tomorrow. You absolutely have no idea. So there is, I mean, the unknown is everywhere all the time. The biggest known factor that you can have, or the biggest thing that you can know, is what you can do in any given circumstance. That's the only truth you have, is you and your breath and what your action is going to be. The rest of it, illusion. The rest of it can change in a heartbeat. The rest of it is nothing. You just can't keep projecting. The fear is about the future that you don't even understand.
So this is really about living in the moment.
Correct.
Without being attached to the past or future tripping, but staying
in the
moment.
Fear is in the future, and you know the pain that you had is no longer with you anymore unless you resurrect it. All emotion is fleeting. Emotions are not static. Nothing in the universe is static except a human being trying to live in the same place. And that's called conflict. That's what I mean when I talk about conflict. Everything in the universe, everything is in constant motion except for humans trying to remain the same. That causes huge universal and personal conflict.
Oh, interesting. So that's what you mean by conflict.
Correct.
People trying to stay the same.
Right.
So that would be attachments, people getting attached to a particular identity or reality or state of mind or living arrangement or profession.
Yep.
And so they get attached to those things, and then they try to keep them stable, like, you know, I don't want to lose my stuff, and I want to keep this job. And so
everything is transitory. And the conflict of fighting the transitory keeps us energetically stale, keeps us squelched, unconscious, stressed, and not breathing.
Mm. So every time you take a breath, a conscious breath, then you become fully alive. And when you become fully alive, I would imagine, too, that it becomes unbearable to remain half dead.
What happens is, as you learn to use your breath, and I believe micro practices throughout the day are better than a sitting for one long time, and micro practices of conscious breath throughout the day, yes, fuel you and move you past those places that you would normally stay stuck. And yes, I can't imagine at this point in my life a worse place to be than not breathing and stuck I remember, it was probably like 8 months ago now, I actually went through a 5-hour period of, I had issues with my ex and my child and some other health things come up, and I spent 5 hours, about three, not realizing that I was in the place where, you know, a lot of people live all the time. I didn't notice what color the trees were, what smell was happening. I was driving my car in this unconscious fashion, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm not breathing. You know, and I started to take a breath, and everything came flooding back in at Mach 1, and it's like, wow. And so I went back to that place, just because now that I was conscious, I wanted to remember. I wanted to look at that again. How do most people live? And it's bland. Everything's passing them by. They have no notice that there's 100 greens in that tree, that the sky is that particular blue, that the, you know, people walking down the street, the sunlight's glittering off their hair. Just passing through life in this kind of mesmerized state. And, you know, once again, I'm not sitting in some sterile place with nothing happening in my life to distract me. That's the beauty of Tantra, was created for householders who are actually engaged in life. That everything you do becomes an ability to meditate. Meditate does not mean sitting there doing nothing.
So
meditation is sitting there being completely present to what you're doing.
I like that take on meditation a lot better than this whole thing of just zoning out. And you're a lot more interesting than some really accomplished meditators that I know, by the way.
Well, I'm a pretty accomplished meditator. I just do it with my hair on fire.
I know, but I'm just saying, some people I know who've spent, you know, years in ashrams just almost seem like they're
dead.
Just got really good at checking out and not even being here.
Exactly. I don't teach transcendence. I teach becoming completely in your body.
I love it. I love it. We have just a few minutes left. Is there any way you could take us through 2 or 3 minutes of a micro breath exercise?
Sure. I definitely can. All right. The first thing you need to realize is that your abdomen is probably very, very tight, especially in the United States where we prize six packs. So you want to undo the button or your belt buckle or whatever. You want to let your stomach hang like Buddha. Just let it relax.
Okay. Let it hang like Buddha, okay?
Hang like Buddha, baby.
I'm hanging like Buddha.
She's hanging like Buddha. All right, the second thing you want to do is just to become aware of the air going into your nose. As you breathe in, where is that air going? Feel it come into your nose, and you may only feel it go to your chest, and that's okay. You just take a moment or two to experience the breath that you're having right now without changing a thing. Your breath is coming in and it's going out in whatever fashion it's doing it. No judgment, just follow your breath for a moment. If you were to do that several minutes a day, just following your breath at any given moment that you can, you would already be in a state of meditation. Just doing that. You're focused on your breath, following it in and following it out.
And I felt the shift. It was almost immediate.
Right. Yes. And so to amp that up a little, you'd want to do a practice of going to exaggerated breath. And that would be pulling your belly button all the way to your spine, because when we breathe out, we get small. We contract in. So breathing out, breathing out, breathing out. And you could, I like to have people rolling on the floor trying to get every last molecule of air out of their chest, because there's so much air in there that you never move. And then when you are fully, fully, fully empty, you release your abdomen, let it fill up from the bottom. It's like a water balloon. The air is pouring into the bottom. Now, you don't have lungs in your pelvis, but guess what? You can actually expand your pelvis with your breath. And when I have people hold their stomachs, you can put your hand on your stomach. So when you breathe in, you're filling your abdomen up. And when you're breathing out, you're pulling your belly button all the way to your spine.
Yeah.
And then you're just letting that air just rush in. Now, that's exaggerated. And you're going to do that just so you get the rhythm and the feel of what that is. And you might get lightheaded. Because what you want to do is you want to
expand out. A little bit of tingle in the hands, a little bit of lightheadedness.
Right. Yeah. you can expand outward in all directions. And really, this is about expanding your capacity for life. When you inhale, you're inspiring life. And so you're expanding your capacity for life by inhaling and expanding your body. Your ribs, don't put your shoulders up. You want to stay low into your pelvis and expand low and open. This will take a lot of energy and blood flow to your pelvis. Most of us are very cut off. In fact, erectile dysfunction, mostly caused by anxiety and stress, and the fact that we're so tight in these pelvic muscles that doesn't cause the relaxation that allows for an erection to happen. So you might want to think about that.
Yeah, I have found ED is mostly psychological, too.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's exaggerated, but if you even just go to that deep conscious breath several times a day, at the checkout line, at a red light, any time that you have a moment, you do some deep breathing, your life will change just doing that.
And, well, of course, now, if you do the really exaggerated stuff, then people might notice that at the bank, right?
Sure, right. You do that at home so you get really good at understanding what empty and full is, how to keep your body expanding outward instead of upward, because most people are breathing way up in their chest. This is just awareness to bring your awareness way low and down.
Right.
And then as you go out throughout the day, you can just consciously see if you're contracting or expanding. There's two ways to live, contraction and expansion. We want to expand.
I love that. And one thing that really hit me was just the immediate energy shift that took place before I did the exaggerated breathing. And I was just letting my belly relax and paying attention to how I was breathing.
Yep, because you expanded. Most of us live in chronic contraction. So just the aspect of letting the belly relax, which lets your fear relax, and because that's all the power center and sexual center, you let that relax, you will already have change happening. Add the breath to that. Besides getting on my email list and hooking up with me, life will be amazing.
Well, and how can people hook up with you?
LearningTantra.com has all the information you need. Contacting me at Tanya, T-A-N-J-A, at LearningTantra.com, or find it on my website. I'm on Twitter, Tantra Teacher. I'm on Facebook, Tanya Diamond. I'm pretty well everywhere.
And you have your own radio show. Tell us about that.
I do. Tantra, Love, Sex, and Intimacy. I just did it tonight. All the archives are on my website under radio show. And, I talk about also today we talked about sex toys. But lots of things from breathing, spirituality, to sex toys and beyond. But, get up, get signed on. I've got some videos on my website as well and more coming. I've got 5 assistants now, and we're taking the world by storm to eradicate sexual ignorance.
Awesome. And thank you for, I really like that, what did you call it now? Is it micro-breathing or micro-meditation?
Micro-practices of breath. Micro-practices of anything, just please. Micro-practices of consciousness, micro-practices of kindness.
Try not to do one hour
of yoga, the rest 23 unconscious doesn't work.
Exactly, and that's it. Oftentimes, for me, you know, I have my meditation practice at the end of my day, and I feel really centered finally, and I'm going to bed.
Right, exactly. Micro-practices throughout the day will get you farther and faster than 1 hour of consciousness and 23 hours of unconsciousness.
I love it. I'm going to make that a part of my life.
Yay.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. We'll have you back again if you'll be so kind as to come back.
Love it.
Okay. All right.
Alrighty.
Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Yeah.